On today's episode, we're going to talk about being the best at one thing, cryotherapy, and cheeseburgers.
Let's go!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. I am your host, Jonathan Grzbowski, and today I have with me Skylar Scarlett. He's 26 years of age. He's the CEO of Glace Cryotherapy, which provides a total body inflammation reduction in just 2 to 3 minutes aimed at improving recovery. They offer a one-of-a-kind therapy that can help with pain management and athletic recovery. They will be opening up in select city sports location, a sport club location in the Bay Area, and LA fitness locations where cryotherapy will be as routine as heading to the gym. Skylar, how is your day going, my friend?
It's good to be here, Jonathan. I always like, you know, talking to other entrepreneurs and, you know, giving advice where I can help others when I can. Day's going good, so I'm excited to, you know, start talking with you.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for being here. So we start off the podcast the same thing every single time. So imagine you just had the best day of your life. What is that one piece of food that will make your day complete?
Cheeseburger for me. Nice. I cannot resist a good cheeseburger. It's impossible. Even if I have a really good, you know, workout and diet going on and there's a big cheeseburger there, it screws everything up.
Nice. So what do we have it on this cheeseburger? And is it coming from a particular place?
Honestly, I always tell people it's hard to screw up a cheeseburger.
Because it really is. I agree with that.
It's a bad cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I mean, there's cheeseburgers, but it's hard to have a bad one. I think I would have, you know, grilled mushrooms, onions, cheddar cheese, tomatoes, pretty much everything.
At least you're a fitness, at least you're in the fitness world. You have to have at least a couple of vegetables on there. So I'm glad you added the mushrooms and tomatoes.
Yeah, super healthy cheeseburger.
Yeah, exactly. So without further ado, Skylar, by all means, go right ahead. The first real question is, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
26 years old. I got into Glace Cryotherapy pretty much right after college. I worked a couple of jobs, but the whole idea of Glace Cryotherapy kind of fell into my lap. It was actually my sister's husband who was at lunch with me. I was considering going to physical therapy school, which was really what I was always set out to do. I studied exercise physiology in college. So I figured, all right, I'll go be a physical therapist. That'll be my job. I'll help people. I'll enjoy it. I'll make money. But I didn't really have these ideas of being an entrepreneur. But he came to me and he knew I had to make this big decision of, you know, spending $90,000 going back to school after I just did 22 years of school. And he asked me if I'd ever heard about whole body cryotherapy. Never. I never had heard of it. And I kind of asked him, you know, what are you talking about? And he told me that he had a buddy out in Texas who was using it for his horrible back pain and that he had horrible back pain. He couldn't do much. And now all of a sudden he can play golf again. And he was telling Casey he had to try it. That's my sister's husband. So I told him I would look into it. And I was really shocked when I looked into this thing because first I was kind of thinking, you know, what the hell is this thing, right? It's, you know, negative 250, you're in a machine, nitrogen's coming out. It looks like a sci-fi channel, you know, movie production. But what I saw when I really looked into it was Olympic athletes and NBA athletes that were swearing by it, saying, you have to go try this. I love it. I use it all the time. So that really caught my attention right at the, you know, the start, because these are the best athletes in the world and they're swearing by this technology, this therapy. You know, you won't see these athletes, you know, wearing that thing around their abs that gives you a six pack. They use legitimate stuff. They have the best trainers in the world. So I said, all right, I need to go find this. Couldn't find it anywhere. I really started digging, and the only place I could find a machine to do this was about an hour and a half away. A former Olympian, three-time Olympian, had a unit, and he wasn't using it to make money. He was training Olympic hopefuls with it. So that, to me, was really cool. Here it is. This guy is a three-time Olympian, and he's using it to train Olympic hopefuls. So I went and tried it. I loved it. Had all my friends come up and try it. They loved it. Brought my sister. She was like, this is awesome. So I said, hey, this is new. Where could we take this thing, and what can it become? So that's when I went to my sister and said, do you think we could partner on this idea and maybe make this a retail business where everybody can come and use it, not just professional athletes? So from there, we kind of found out that in Texas, there was retail places, So we said, all right, that's the only state that has them. We need to go see what they're doing. So we flew out there. You know, we didn't really like what we saw. A lot of them were looking kind of like tanning bed and doctor offices, and that's not really where we wanted to take it. We didn't want it to be like that. So we kind of took what we liked and then said, all right, let's try to create a model around it and, you know, make this something where everybody feels comfortable and everybody can do it. And so we decided this crazy idea of, you know, opening up in our tiny town of Carmel, which only has 4,000 people. So looking back, probably not the smartest idea, but as entrepreneurs, we do these crazy things, and that's, you know, how we start, right? Is doing these crazy things. So looking back, I can't believe we have been decided to open up in such a tiny place with really no funds in what looked like a garage at the time. We basically had a machine and that's all, but I am very happy that we did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's led you to this point right now. Before I start actually talking about the Shark Tank, you know, experience, I want to actually ask a little bit about what what cryotherapy is. Now, I know you briefly hinted at it, but yeah, I guess if you can, let's talk about some of the health benefits. Well, number one, what is it? Health benefits. You know, why should I, the person listening, be doing something like this?
Yeah, in the most simple terms, cryotherapy is a cold therapy that reduces your inflammation. That's what it does. So think of it like a modern day ice bath, except for it's a dry cold. So unlike an ice bath, which you have to go into up to your neck for 25 minutes, this is going to be 2 to 3 minutes. It's going to be dry. So the second you get out, you're going to immediately heat up and you're going to get all the benefits of any, you know, cold therapy would give you, which is really reducing inflammation. And reducing inflammation is so important, not just for athletes, but anybody who is dealing with aches and pains, because a lot of times those aches and pains are because you have a lot of inflammation in your body. So that's the core of cryotherapy. You will hear other things about it, but really the focus is, you know, it reduces inflammation. And, you know, other benefits, you know, a lot of my clients, they sleep better, probably because they have less inflammation in their bodies. For me, I know I get a lot of energy when I do it. So a lot of times I actually prefer to do it before I work out. So maybe I'm tired after a long day, I hop in there and I'm ready to go. It's like I had 4 cups of coffee, but no crash.
Interesting.
So, you know, those, a lot of people that try cryotherapy, they're pleasantly surprised about the benefits they get. Most people are a little, you know, they're a little suspect of this new therapy, and then they go, wow, I feel great. You know, I have less knee pain. I have more energy than I've had in, you know, years. So the therapy is something I just recommend that everybody try to kind of see what it does for you.
So when you say inflammation, let's list, is it more like joint pain or is it more internal, like, you know, maybe gut, if you can expand on that a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I'd say any inflammation, even in your face, right? We're constantly creating inflammation. Just walking outside, you're going to create a little inflammation. Inflammation is a natural process that our body is supposed to go through. The problem that we see is that our body always overcompensates and it releases too much inflammation, especially when it comes to, you know, exercise. Our body kind of panics and releases all this inflammation. It's too much. And what the cryotherapy does is it really reduces that down so you recover quicker. The next day you're feeling a lot better. You're back to your workout feeling better than you would have if you didn't do the cryotherapy. So, and for people that have aches and pains, right, there's all this inflammation in their knee. And some of it you do need to repair that knee. But a lot of that that's there is too much. And when you reduce it down, all of a sudden they're walking better, they're sleeping better, they're feeling better because the therapy dramatically reduced that inflammation. And like you said, it's the whole body, it's the joints all over your body.
Starting off, this new idea, they go into one of your places inside, you know, these LA Fitnesses and this city sports clubs. Do you recommend doing all 7 days? Do you recommend 3? What is the best regimen? Obviously it's according to the person, but, you know, starting off, and what is the best to receive the best results? What would you recommend?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, this is not something where you do cryotherapy once and you're healed. Know your, you know, all your inflammation's gone. I really think at first you got to try to give it a chance. So try to do 6 to 10 sessions close together. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you do every day, great. Not most people can't do every day. It's just not realistic with their schedules. So try to get that 6 to 10 sessions in and then go from there. See how you feel. Do you feel like you have less aches and pains? Do you have more energy? Are you sleeping better? Are your workouts better? This is not something where you need to do 3 or 4 months. You'll know after a month if you're doing it right. If you're doing, you know, 6 to 10 in a month, you'll know cryotherapy is going to work for you. from there, if you, you know, this is something that reduces inflammation. So if you stop doing it and you're not reducing inflammation anymore, those aches and pains are, it's not going to last, right? So really, I think once you realize what it does for you, and maybe for you it's once a week, maybe it's twice per week, maybe it's, you know, six times per month. That's the magic number for you. But learn what that number is and then try to, you know, incorporate it into your lifestyle. So I really think twice per week is a really strong, realistic amount that most people probably could fit cryotherapy into their schedules. I mean, it is quick, right? You're going to come in and be in our Glossé spa for probably 5 to 10 minutes. It's a very quick process. You already know, you know, about the therapy, you've been educated on it. You come in, you go into the dressing room, we get you a good session, you're out. So it's something that you can really, you know, fit in.
No, that's awesome. So let's kind of shift the focus a little bit. We have a base. We know what the benefits are. We know it's something I've been thinking about doing for the longest time. That and floating, those are like the two things I just can't stop hearing.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet. I've heard great things about floating, but I am going to
soon. Yeah, absolutely. So you pitched this idea, this business, to Shark Tank. And I am sure a ton of people have asked this question, but just briefly go in, like, what was the experience like and how has that benefited you? And I have a follow-up question after that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of people want to know about Shark Tank. It's great because it's a great conversation topic and it's really helped our business because anytime you bring up Shark Tank, like I said, most people have seen the show or heard about the show. For us, it was a great experience. But like most people, it's a really stressful, long experience because it's a year-long process from when you submit an application to when you talk to producers and you try to, you know, advance to the next rounds to when you're flown down to LA and you're filming. And then after that, when you're waiting to appear on TV, which you're not even guaranteed. So it's a whole big waiting game. You never really know if you're going to make it on to the next round. You never know if you're actually going to appear in front of the sharks. And you never know, even if you peer in front of the sharks, if you're actually going to be shown on TV. So it's I would say you get a lot of anxiety, but it is a kind of like that fun, exciting anxiety, right? Like it is. It's a, you know, a big opportunity. I think the whole Shark Tank production team was really great to my sister and I. We felt like we were treated really fairly. We enjoyed, you know, getting to pitch cryotherapy in front of millions of Americans. And we thought our segment came off really well. You know, looking back, we wish we had kind of asked for different things and, you know, said different things. But that's where we were at the time. So like most entrepreneurs, right, you can only do what you have at that moment of time. But, yeah, overall, really good process. I encourage really anyone that has a, you know, a business or an invention to go for it. And I think it's Shark Tank's way better for products, in my opinion. But the big thing to come out of Shark Tank for us was that Fitness International happened to be watching our show, and that's how we got our contract with them to even be able to go into select LA Fitness locations and City Sports Club locations. And for us, that is, you know, a big part of our, you know, game plan going forward. So that was so valuable to us, and we owe that to Shark Tank.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I mean, it just says a lot. There's a lot to be said about putting yourself out there, regardless of the situation, whether it's Shark Tank or even like a simple podcast interview, because you never know who's watching, who's listening. So, you know, congratulations on all of that. So in terms of your business, I'm sure, you hinted at it. You said that's where we were then, but this is where we are now. So what were some of the initial struggles that you had when you were starting your business?
That's the thing. You're always in a different place and everything's day-to-day as entrepreneurs, you know. But when we first started, I'll be honest, I think we got so many lucky breaks that our first year, really everything went our way. And that usually doesn't happen. So I think we were like, wow, like entrepreneur, you know, being an entrepreneur isn't that tough. It's awesome. You know, everything was going our way. We started this cryotherapy business in Carmel where there was only 20 cryotherapy spas in the whole country. And yet our first 2 weeks, we pulled in like $10,000. Where did these people come from? You know, how did they find us? No one knew what cryotherapy is. I kind of consider that lucky that that happened. We applied to Shark Tank and an hour later we got a phone call and they're like, we want you to be on the show. Would you go through the rounds? And then what do you know? We made it onto the show. We're flying out there. What a lucky break. Obviously, you know, you have to do the right things to get on the show, but still to, you know, beat out 75,000 other entrepreneurs, that's a lot of luck. So we got a lot of lucky breaks. Fitness International is watching our segment, right? That's, you know, another lucky break. And then, you know, after that start, when we tried to start scaling our company, that's when things got, you know, more difficult. That's when it really got real. And I was like, okay, now I understand what people are talking about what it means to be an entrepreneur. And what I like to call peaks and valleys, because definitely last year, lots of valleys. We thought that we would be in our new location of City Sports Club about 8 months ago, and now we're still waiting another month or two. And that had to do with permits that we never ran into in Carmel that we needed for this city, and things like that that we just weren't expecting to run into that are out of our control. I think the hardest things as an entrepreneur are the things that you can't control. When you're waiting on things, those are very difficult, because when you're waiting on stuff, you can only wait. You know, that's not something that you can really control.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So I guess, like, what did you learn from that? You know, you gone through this process, you have, you know, took 8-ish plus months or whatever it is, in order for you to open up the location. You know, what did you learn this time around in order to not make the same mistake the second time?
I'm really happy you asked that. That's the thing. I think as an entrepreneur or even anybody, it's okay to make mistakes you're going to, but you should never make the same mistake twice. Never. And so now that we've been through this process, we know exactly what, you know, difficult cities we'd be looking for. We have a doctor's note saying, you know, cryotherapy is very safe. Anybody can do it. A lot of cities that aren't aware of cryotherapy, having this doctor's note is going to be a huge help. You know, knowing what cities want to see to put a cryotherapy location in is really important. So having all this paperwork ready, having our materials already, you know, having them already, all these things that we can prepare for our next city, instead of being 8 months, maybe it's, you know, 2 months. And so that's a huge advantage. We've been through it, and so we know what the process is like now. And so we're not going to, you know, be waiting around or, you know, oh, we, you know, thinking that, okay, we'll just wait to do that. No, now we know we have to do it now, start the process right now instead of waiting.
So when you said doctor's note, that's an interesting, I guess, idea. Like, why is that important? I'm just curious.
We didn't think it was, because in most cities, they're never going to ask for a doctor's note. Cryotherapy is not medical. You know, it's nice bath. It reduces inflammation. But like I said, it's not, you know, going to cure anything or prevent. You know, gloss table don't make any outrageous claims. I can't say that for some cryotherapy spas, but we don't. And I think for them, they just had no clue what cryotherapy was. They saw a machine, they heard nitrogen, and they said, okay, are you going to have a doctor on site? And we said, no, it's not that kind of business. You know, we don't need to have a doctor on site. You wouldn't have a doctor on site. So for them, they just needed to know, well, in this case, they wanted us to have a handicap lift, which the thing with cryotherapy is you have to be able to have your head above the nitrogen. Mm. When you're in the machine, your head's above. So they just didn't understand that. And so this thing kind of draw the process out, you know, to have a $50,000 piece of equipment that we could never even use anyways, that would take up most of our space. So to kind of get around that, we just had to have a doctor say, look, yeah, take my word for it. Cryotherapy is very safe, but you have to be able to have your head above at all times. Mm. And once we got that note, they're like, okay, you know, we'll give you your permits now.
Interesting. That's weird. Yeah. I mean, I think that another takeaway is, I guess, you know, people may not all be signing up or starting like a cryotherapy business, but I think the act of a testimonial of somebody who's credible is extremely valuable. So I guess if there's one thing that you can kind of pinpoint, you know, what would you say has been like the biggest failure thus far?
Biggest failure so far? Definitely spending money in areas we did not yet need to spend money in. And to kind of elaborate on that, certain things we did were very expensive that we definitely could have waited on to, you know, spend that money on. And I really think when you're starting a business, you should try to conserve as much money as you possibly can. And I know that for the first year, we pretty much handled everything ourselves. You know, my sister did all our social media and marketing. I did the website myself, you know, using Weebly. And, you know, there's a lot of tools out there where you don't need to outsource. You can do it yourself, save money, and probably, you know, have your vision better laid out because it's you doing it. But once you start trying to scale and you're like, right, we need to be a big company, we need to start spending money, you know, outsource our SEO, outsource our website, franchising, which is a really expensive process, and now you're dealing with lawyers. I never imagined ever that we'd have spent as much money last year and this year on lawyer fees. Crazy amount that I'm like, wow, how did we spend that much money on lawyer fees?
Right.
I think some of those lawyer fees, we definitely could have waited till later for some of those things to spend money on.
Okay.
I'd say that's probably our biggest failure. And I know, you know, we're new to this. So I'm like, you know, we made some mistakes. I'm okay with it, but never want to make those mistakes again.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Now I'm going to change the focus of the conversation a little bit. And, I feel like I have a really good understanding of who you are as a business professional, but let's talk a little bit more about who you are as a person. So, just a very simple, very basic question. What do you do for fun?
What I do for fun, when I'm not working, right, which is all the time, I enjoy being with my buddies and going out and getting a beer. I love being outside, being out in the water, whether it's the ocean or the river. Love to travel when I can. I went to Croatia and Spain last year, and just amazing experience. To go see those cultures in different parts of the world, and I think it actually made me a better entrepreneur having done those trips. So.
Any reason for that? I'm just curious.
Any what?
Any particular reason? Like why do you think that made you a better entrepreneur?
So I did a trip called Yacht Week, and it's a great trip. 60 boats out in Croatia, and it's basically 50% Americans, but then 50% Colombia and France and Italy. And it's so cool to meet these people from all over the world, and everybody's really outgoing, try to meeting, a lot of young professionals were on this trip, and to kind of get their input on my company and what they think of it was really valuable, because a lot of these people that are not from the US have different points of view that I couldn't see and that none of my friends and family could see in the US. So it was really cool to see, what kind of companies are working in their country and what kind of advice they'd have for me in the US that I could use. So who would have thought that, Yacht Week trip, which wasn't for business, it was for, fun, it was for vacation, it was for, getting a break, could lead to something that could help Lasse, was unexpected.
Mm. Now, something that I'm curious about is being in the fitness industry, or would you even call it fitness industry, or?
Yeah, I would. And
wellness?
Wellness, fitness, but we're going to be in these fitness clubs, and that's right. The hope, a bunch of them. And I, like I told you, I hope that cryo therapy becomes like a gym membership where it's just standard to have a cryo sauna or a cryo therapy company like Lasse in your fitness club.
Yeah.
People understand it. They don't have to do it every time, but if they're tired, they can hop in there and get energized for the workout. If they feel like they need after the workout to recover quicker, it's there for them. And it's affordable, and it's, a good experience.
Well, my point to that was a lot of people in the fitness industry have these like ridiculous habits, like very regimented things that they do. So my question to you is, what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
So for me, I'm not a morning person, but I try to wake up early because my days are way more productive when I'm up early. I'll get a cold brew, give me way too much energy, but I'll get a lot done. So I've noticed that even though I'm not a morning person, when I do force myself to get up early, my day is way more productive.
Hmm. Any time in particular? Like what is like your optimal work time?
Earlier the better. If I could be up at 7 or 8, my day is going to be 40 times more productive than if I wake up at 10 o'clock or 11.
Interesting. Okay. And you usually stay up later or?
Yeah, I stay up really late. So I'm going to bed, sometimes 12, 1, 2, or 3. But if I can, get 5 to 6 hours of sleep, that's usually better than if I get 10 or 11 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Very true. Now, in terms of technology and resources, something that I find very valuable in just entrepreneurship and business in general, what are some technologies or resources that you use that you just can't live without?
Yeah, great question. And I love what you guys are doing because you're giving resources to entrepreneurs, which are so valuable. That can help entrepreneurs in every facet of what we do. For me, I'm always reading articles on Google. I'm always looking at people that have seen success and learning from their successes and their failures. So, I'm constantly on Entrepreneur or on Facebook and on Inc. and reading those articles, and I'm constantly, you know, trying to do things myself that I can. So even like we talked about, you know, my website, I did it myself with Weebly, but I wanted something more professional. And now, you know, we did hire someone to help us with WordPress, but now I'm learning WordPress so I can really have the website looking the way that, you know, my sister and I want it to. So I think that for most things out there, you probably can be taught or teach yourself how to do those things that are so valuable to an entrepreneur, you know, marketing, Instagram, website. Those are things that you can handle yourself.
So do you use like, I'm just curious because you're not more, I mean, I guess your service / product. So I'm kind of curious, like, do you use like Trello or Asana, or do you use any type of management tool that kind of say, or maybe like an email tool, because I'm sure a lot of your work is just like maybe cold email, maybe cold call. So you can get that introduction. So like, do you have anything to track those measures?
My sister really handles most of that. I'm lucky to have her because she does such a good, she's really organized. She uses Mailchimp, which is great because we did notice that, you know, sometimes people just kind of forgot about us. And when we, you know, send an email out, like, oh, hey, I missed cryotherapy so much, just got caught up in my activities. That email got me back in. And then they're with us for 6 months in a row. And then they take a break. But, you know, I think that's a good program to use. We obviously use a booking program. We were using Booker. We're going to be using Mind and Body when we go to City Sports Club to book our clients. But other than that, you know, cryotherapy is a very complicated, simple business, I like to call it, because we only do a couple things, but the couple things we do are very complicated, such as nitrogen gas and, you know, operating the equipment. But, you know, we're not selling a bunch of products. We're trying to do one thing really well, which is, you know, a service, whole body cryotherapy.
Yeah, and that actually leads to, you know, maybe this could be one of your pieces of advice, but doing one thing really well. I think that's a problem with entrepreneurs is that they're constantly, their heads are in 100 million different directions. The Blind Entrepreneur podcast was created because individuals that may be temporarily blind in business, they may not be able to see what is the obvious or directly in front of them, or maybe they might be stuck in like this rut, right? So what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
Number one, I think mindset. You just have to have a really strong mindset. So I know when I first started, it was, you know, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. That got me started because if you're scared, you're thinking about failure, you're never going to get it off the ground. You're never going to be able to do it if you're afraid of that failure. And then now what I use to kind of help me through the day is we do have bad things happen. I remember that it's just a business. It's a business that my sister and I love. We want to, you know, make it something big. We love helping people. But at the end of the day, you know, if something bad happens in business, it's just business. You know, nothing bad happened to one of my friends. No one in my family is in a car accident. That is really unlucky. That to me would be devastating. But business wise, it is a business, and I'm trying to separate that. So that's my mindset now. Another piece of advice, I think that when you first start, you need to try to do as much as you can yourself and save money. That's really important. My sister and I, we handled, you know, 15 different jobs ourselves. And maybe they weren't as good as hiring somebody, but they were good enough. And they got as much as you can and learn as much as you can. And third piece of advice I can give, let's see. I said the mindset. I said the, you know, doing what you can yourself. Is don't view your success on financials alone. I think that you got to view success as in, you know, your experiences as well, because I think a lot of people kind of think that being an entrepreneur is that quick road to, you know, millions of dollars. And that's just not realistic. I think when you look at the best case scenarios like Snapchat and Facebook, those are still, you know, 4 year, 5 year, you know, businesses that are extremely rare. And so, you know, even if you set out to be an entrepreneur and you do fail, as long as you learn, you're going to be way better set up for life. Those experiences are going to help you if you go back to, you know, working for someone else, if you want to start a new company. So don't view success just about how much money you make.
Yes, Scott, that was great piece of advice. So thank you so much for that. You know, I guess I just have like one question that I'm curious about. You said you lived in a place that had what, 3,000-4,000 people, and then now you're living in a place that has a lot more than that. So I guess, like, tell me like how what was that like? Like, what was that transition from small town to where you are?
Yeah, I mean, at first, I was living in a barn on my mom's property to save money. And believe me, the barn wasn't that bad, but, at least I, didn't have to spend a lot of money on rent. And so that was a nice part about being in the small town and, my amazing mom helping me out by making sure that, I didn't have to cover rent as I was trying to build this business. But you're really, in a small town, you're really close to all your clients. We knew so many of them. So many were coming to my sister and I thanking us, for helping them. Some things that we just did not expect. We have one amazing client with Crohn's disease, and she just feels better than she has in 10 years. And she's so thankful. She does, she's, trying to help pay my sister and I's rent now that we're up here. She just been so good to us. And we just never, I don't think we knew that we would meet, clients like that when we first started Glossé. I think we knew that it could, be a great resource for athletes, but to be such a great resource for people that are dealing with like Crohn's disease, that it could help that much, that was powerful. And I don't know if we'll have that closeness to clients as much in this big population that we're going into, just because, instead of having, maybe 15, 20 clients per day, we're hoping to have 70 clients per day. Mm. So it's going to be a little quicker paced. And so that will be different. And instead of living in a barn, I'm living in the Bay Area, which is incredibly expensive. So now I'm like, I got that stress of I got to cover rent, living with the girlfriend now up here. So it's different. I'm in a different stage now, but it's all right. It's part of the growth process.
Survival is much different in a barn versus in the Bay Area. Well, Skyler, thank you so much for your time, man. The next 30 seconds are yours. Feel free, look right into the camera and tell us what you got working on. Tell us what you have that you're working on. Tell us how people can follow the mission and follow your journey.
First of all, thank you, Jonathan. I think what you're doing is great. People can learn so much from watching these podcasts. So it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, man.
As far as me, I really encourage, especially the millennials out there, I just wrote a blog post on my website. And the title was, if you're in your 20s and you're not an entrepreneur, you're crazy. And I wasn't trying to be a dick. My point was that in your 20s is the best time to take the risk of being an entrepreneur. Most of us don't have families, I don't have kids, don't have a wife, don't have these crazy expenses that we will later in life. The risk is less. And we probably have the strongest, best social network now that we're, fresh out of college or high school. We know a lot of people were, at the right time in our life to be an entrepreneur. And the biggest thing would be you don't want to have regret later in life that you had this idea or you had this thought, or you wanted to start a business and you didn't. Because I guarantee you there'll be regrets if you don't go out and do it. And the honest truth is ideas are worthless. Execution is everything. That is the truth. Everybody has ideas. 7 billion people have ideas. But are you going to be the person that goes out there and executes on that idea? I think you can if you try and you go for it.
Awesome, man. Wise words, my friend. Wise words. Love it. So congratulations on your success. And thank you to everybody else that is watching or listening. Thanks always for liking, commenting, and subscribing. Have an incredible day, my friend.
Thank you, Jonathan. Pleasure. We'll talk soon.
All mine. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.